We're going to try this again. Be opening your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Tonight, another parable. The parable this morning came from Luke chapter 10, and the parable this evening is from Luke chapter 12. Excuse me, verses 13 through 21, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." I don't know what you think about the last statement there, but the last statement is that an individual is not rich toward God. I think I have made the mistake of looking at this parable in the past and thinking of it in terms of how he should have helped the workers, helped the people who helped him bring his, from the planting until the harvest and the storing up into the barns and building of the barns and things like that. But the final statement there by Jesus is, "Not rich toward God." So give that some thought. As you know, parables are lessons from heaven in earthly stories. As I mentioned this morning, I ask you to read them very carefully, study them very closely. Be sure that you don't miss the message of the parable. I know that there are times when some people take parables and they try to go here and there with those parables and maybe try to extract more than what is actually there. But there are times when we miss the message of the parable. Parables, as you know, make excellent teaching tools for children, for young folks, to tell them a story. And when you take the parable to a certain level, a very light level, you can teach very good lessons to children. But understand, there's far more there. Jesus provides some information regarding parables in Matthew chapter 13. And maybe I'll take just a moment and read a little bit of that in Matthew 13. There's a lot of information there in parables. So Jesus begins teaching the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And then the disciples in verse 10 come to him and ask him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Good question. He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Now that passage there perplexes a lot of people. I simply ask you to read it and study it and think about it. And that quotation from Isaiah is Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. So this parable here is about greed. If you go back to verse 1 in chapter 12, you see that there was a crowd that had gathered around Jesus. Many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So he's begun there, and he's given them some lessons. And then in verse 13, someone in that large crowd, speaks up and asks Jesus to divide his inheritance with him. In case you're wondering, there's some information in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 15 through 17 regarding this. It has to do with the right of the firstborn to receive a double portion of the inheritance. Fact of the matter is, even though the man asks Jesus to do this for him, the matter's already been settled by God. It's a very interesting thought here. Jesus deals with the deeper problem here. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Usually we think in terms of greed as just being in one form. You've got money, I want it. And I'm going to do what I can to get it from you. Take advantage of you or whatever. But there was a deeper problem here. And Jesus did say, watch out for greed. Jesus didn't necessarily make a judgment call regarding this particular question that was posed to him. As I mentioned, I think the matter of the judgment has already been made. It could be simply that the man wanted Jesus to facilitate this matter, or it could have been simply a test for Jesus. It could be that the man himself was greedy, or maybe he was dealing with a greedy brother. I don't know. It could be that Jesus was being asked to give his opinion on the matter. You know, that's something that we like to do. We like to talk about things, and we want to get this opinion, that opinion, and the other. And last, maybe think about considering what God has to say on the matter. Well, that's the way we are. That's human nature. Another thing that might be overlooked here is the fact that God not only had in place the law, He also had in place priests and Levites that could settle matters like this for people. Something that we often overlook. The priests really were to take care of these particular matters, and Jesus didn't really need to get involved in this. So he did not take up the cause of this man. He took up the cause of God. The matter of greed. Here's another thing that you might consider when you're thinking about this parable here. When Jesus says to watch out for and be on your guard for all kinds of greed. Jesus didn't take the time to define greed for them. They knew what it was. They knew what greed was. He simply gives a parable. Those who had the ability to grasp and understand the parable would understand full well God's message on this particular matter. As I mentioned, the deeper problem at hand here is the problem of greed. And I also mentioned that it could be greed on behalf of the individual that made the request. It could be that he was dealing with a greedy brother. We don't absolutely know. I've always suspicioned that it was the individual who either wanted to have the inheritance divided or he wanted to put Jesus to the test. Here's something else that I've thought about, and I assume that it's true, is the possibility that this man's brother was there in the crowd listening. Some people do that sometimes. I've been in situations where you have people in, say, in a class setting. Pretty good size auditorium class setting, and one person over here asks a question, and the only reason why they're asking that question is because they know somebody over here may be dealing with that problem, or they may just be at odds with one another. So I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to get my question in first, and I'm going to get the teacher's opinion on it, and then you know what's going to happen next. The person that they've got, that they're on the outs with, they're going to come back with another question. And it's going, if you don't control the situation, it's going to go back and forth like that. And anything that you determined to accomplish that day is lost. Greed manifests itself in different ways. Usually greed manifests itself in the form of a desire for money, but it can manifest itself in other ways. And I think that's why Jesus said, all kinds of greed that you're to watch out for. He also says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. One of Job's friends, a man named Zophar, in Job chapter 20 and verse 20, the second part of that verse says that he cannot save himself by his treasure. Simply because you have a lot of money, you can't save yourself or buy your way into heaven. Now, take a look at the parable. I've been talking for a while now. Take a look at the parable, and let's make a few points here. This is the story of I, me, and mine. If you look at the parable, it's distinctive here. The personal pronoun is used. I. Kind of reminds me at times of some of the crows around Brunswick here when I'm walking the dogs in the morning. You can hear them in the trees. Caw, caw, caw. That's a poor excuse for a crow, but I know. But you can hear them in the trees. And sometimes they're over here and they're calling over there and they're talking back and forth. So, this is the parable of the story of I. But I want you to notice something else here very carefully before we get down on this individual here that Jesus mentions in the parable. God blessed it. Look at it. Think about it. God blessed it. Have you ever questioned why God chooses to bless some people and not others? Have you ever questioned that? Have you ever been guilty of saying, you know, he's got it, but he doesn't deserve it? If not, you may have been tempted to. I wouldn't, you know, we may have been tempted to say that. They've got it, but they don't need it, or they've got it and they don't know what to do about it or with it. On and on we can go. And we're not told here in the parable whether or not this was his first acquaintance with wealth. We don't know. That's not really a part of it. But one thing I can assure you of is that this: God may choose to test us, and He does on occasion. He may choose to test us like He did Job, by allowing Satan to take everything away from him, and then to test him with his own health. Physically, spiritually, and mentally. God may choose to test us in that fashion. Now see, God knew what Job was made of, but Job didn't. I suspect that Job wasn't in on this deal. He was not in on the conversation that Job had, or that God had with Satan. Pardon me. God may also choose to test us by blessing us with great wealth. We're, in our own human reasoning, we're prone to say, well, that wouldn't be a test for me. No, that wouldn't be a test for me. I would do this, and I would do that, and I'd go here, and I'd go there, and uh-oh. Maybe it would be a test. Maybe it would. What we see here in the parable is that Jesus is getting the message, trying to get the message across to us that I doesn't really matter. Apparently, he was a good businessman. Think about it. He had a plan. He was faced with great wealth. He was faced with a problem. He had a plan. He came up with a plan very quickly. You might even say that he had what we call in modern terms a master plan. The only problem with this master plan was it was the wrong master. It was the wrong master. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. I don't know how many of you here like fasting. I usually fast every day. I stop eating in the evening and I start up again in the morning. I break my fast in the morning. It usually bothers me when I have to. It's not a problem, but it only bothers me because it hurts my feeling when the doctors tell me, come in the morning and come in at your appointments at 10 o'clock and come in without eating. I can go without. I can go without. Go ahead and say it. I need to go without. It just hurts my feelings, that's all. Fasting is a part of the Bible. It was a part of the life of the Israelites. I don't know if you've ever thought about or explored the reason behind fasting. It seems to me like basically and fundamentally it has to do with our relationship with God, our dependence, learning our dependence upon God for the very food that we eat. Another part of the Bible is feasting. There's not anything wrong with feasting. Just my opinion, but I think we did a little feasting today and we enjoyed it tremendously. One Jewish concept of the kingdom of heaven was that it would be one long banquet with the Lord. Good idea. Good idea. Here Jesus addresses a very serious problem, a very serious heart problem. It's called greed. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus didn't take the time to define the word. He just simply gave the parable, and they knew just exactly what he was talking about. There are times when we can and must define the words and understand them and understand what they mean. But Jesus here gets his message across very effectively. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." You might notice in that last statement there that Jesus makes no condemnation of individuals storing up things, but when you leave out the business of being rich toward God, there are problems, serious problems. God chooses on occasion to bless people with plenty, and that's a good thing. What we do with what we have is very important. Here's another little point that I need to make in closing. Don't be tempted to look at this parable and say, "Well, you know what? I've sat here and I've wasted my time because this parable is to and for and about those that are rich. I don't have that problem." Any one of us, whether wealthy or poor, can be seriously afflicted with the disease of greed. So let's be very, very careful about that. Very careful. Take a look at it, read it again, and think about it.